You sort of want to just sing it this way. Da, 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 da. I don't even want to think of where that tune came from originally. So you can see a bunch of guys in an inn somewhere in England doing that one. But great, great, great words. Before we get into the lesson, let's talk to God. Father, you are an awesome Father. You know what our needs are before we speak up. But Father, as an expression of our love for you, as an expression of our faith in your reality, that you're there, that you hear, and that you answer, we lift this up to you. Father, our hearts are hurting for John and Anthony and the loss of Manishal. We love that sweet sister, and Father, we just know she's with you in her last few months, really, on this old world. We're certainly not her most comfortable and pain-free. So, Father, we rejoice that she's with you and has a perfect spiritual body. But, Father, comfort them and may they feel your presence through us. And Father, we want to ask you, too, to be with our sister Nancy. She's having a biopsy in the morning. And, Father, we just pray that that will show nothing but good results. This sweet sister also has been through a lot. We just pray that you'll bring her some peace and some health. That she can enjoy what is left that you've given her and all of us. Father, we ask you to give us people to talk to. We mention that every week. Father, I know that I'm as guilty as anybody of not recognizing when you put somebody right in front of us that we can share and witness with. Help us to be sensitive and to see those opportunities. And right now, Father, I just want to ask you to guide us in our study. We want this to be about you. We want to rejoice, Father, in what you've done for us. I think that's what Paul is talking about in this passage, that we are incredibly blessed, and we need to be full of love over the love that you've shown towards us. And we give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, in fact, I better do this first here. I'm going to have to get some help. Help me pass this out. Steve, you want to grab something over there on that side? Let me give you. Everybody gets one. So I won't be handing this out earlier. Byron, you want to do some of these too? Let you get the middle section here. And let me get, Jerry, can you help me get this side over? Get the big middle side right here. I shouldn't say big about y'all, right? Caleb, you want to grab? Oh, yeah, you're closer to me. Get that inside over there and then start getting them across. Everybody gets one copy of it. We're going to use that here in a moment. And we're going to be doing something that I think will be fun. I hope it'll be fun for you. You need one sheet, and if you want to, let me go ahead and show you what we're doing. You'll be getting a sheet that says true and false. So fold it completely in half, crease it, because that's going to be your answer, not your response to my sermon. Okay? Just so that you'll know. We don't want to keep using these. So we'll talk about it in a second. You'll hold up which one is yours. And hopefully you can see that very clearly there. Everybody got a copy? Anybody run out? When we get done, if I forget to say it, if you'll pass them to the end of the aisle and people can just set them on the floor, we'll come along and pick them up afterwards when we get done. Say Valerie picking up every one of them out of a seat later on this week sometime. Anybody not get one? Right here in the middle, Jerry, we got a few in the middle right over here that didn't get any. Raise your hand again if you didn't get one. Make sure you get one. You want to be part of this. This is Florissant's Jeopardy. So you're going to be ready for that, okay? Let me go ahead and begin. Thank you guys for helping us get a few. Keep the extras back there and somebody can hand them to any new people that come in. All the way in the back corner back there, Caleb, if you don't mind, she had her hand up all the way in the very back by the nursery back there. No, way back there, Caleb, all the way against the wall. So far, she's almost not in the building. You know, life is full of mysteries, isn't it? I mean, absolutely full of mysteries. And the reason why is because there's so much that we don't know. I mean, if we knew it, it wouldn't be a mystery, right? But because there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know, and not all mysteries are a surprise. We suspect, we think, we've got our guess, and then we find out, oh, I knew that all along, right? If you're like me, I do that a lot. But man, how many conspiracies are out there that, man, there's documentaries and History Channel stuff about all the time because, you know, who did this, who did that? I mean, who's making those crop circles? It's aliens. Well, they know it's jokesters, not aliens. Where's Jimmy Hoffa? Nobody knows. We know what probably happened. We just don't know where he is. And, you know, we could add to that list, you know, galore, couldn't we? I mean, when you think about it, here's the definition, okay? A mystery is something you don't know or understand, but you want to. And the reality is, even if you don't care about it, it's still a mystery. Because some mysteries I don't care about. You know, if they figure it out, good. If they don't, I'm okay with that too. But what I want you to think about with me real quickly by way of introduction, there are life mysteries is what I would call them. You know, I've been married 47 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've said, how in the world could she love me? You know, and I think that's a natural response for any couple that loves each other and they're growing, right? I mean, I make mistakes, I do dumb things, and man, she loves me anyways. I guess that means I got a good one. But I don't really have all the answers as to why and what's going on with that. You know, one of I know we got several in our audience that are veterans. One of the things that causes veterans to struggle with their experiences, even to the point of PTSD, is what's called, you've heard it, survivor guilt. Why did I survive? People I cared about are gone. I mean, you know, I've mentioned that before. Every time I see that famous clip of our soldiers coming up the beaches at Normandy, and literally a couple of them drop on the real, you know, filming of what was going on. Can you imagine thousands landing on Omaha and Utah and charging up that beach, and people are dropping all around like flies, and somehow nothing that came down off that bluff hit you? Wow, that would be hard to live with, you know. Why me? And people struggle with that. But, you know, probably the biggest mystery, if we're interested and really care about our walk with God, is how can God keep on loving me? I know I disappoint God. I know I do the wrong things. And the mystery of God's love, why could he love me? How could he love me? It's just, you know. And, of course, probably one of the best known areas for mysteries is what I would call movie mysteries. What are your favorite movie mysteries? Not the whodunit, but the ones that just blew you away when they ended. Planet of the Apes. If you saw the original, you're old. I mean, they think they're on a foreign planet the entire time, and how does it end? Walking down the beach, and what do they find? Statue of Liberty. And you're like, oh, whoa, what does that mean? You know, they weren't on a foreign planet after all. They were on Earth. And you know, another one that popped up into my head was Sixth Sense. Man, I watched that whole movie. That's where the little boy, I see dead people. Now, if you haven't seen that movie, put your hands over your ears. But it's been out for 20 years. If you haven't seen it, something's wrong. Remember the ending? The guy has been dead the whole movie. And you're into the intricacies of his life and his relationships or what's going on. And I remember thinking, how did they do that? I wanted to go back and see if they made any mistakes. But the guy had been dead the whole time. And, you know, you didn't know that. Well, here's some other ones that kind of did the same to me. If you liked The Mechanic, I did. Guy thought he won at the end. And then he started the car and found out he didn't win. What about Citizen Kane? I mean, famous celebrity, and all the way through the movie, he's talking about Rosebud, and nobody knows what Rosebud is. And then in the end, hold your ears if you haven't seen it. It's only 70 years old or something like that. But what's Rosebud? It's a sleigh. It's his toy sleigh that he had as a kid. And you're like, whoa, that's so crazy. Here's another one. When I was a kid, on Thanksgiving Day, I went to see Psycho when it came out new. Whoa, yeah, the shower scene. Yeah, Norman and his mom running the Bates Hotel, and you have that famous scene where she's jealous about her son spending time with this woman, so she goes and stabs her to death in the shower, and you're watching this mystery unfold. And then at the end, what do you find out? Norman is his mom. She's been dead all along, and he's just been pretending to be her when he needed to be. And you're like, oh, wow, man. Back in the days when that came out, I was just a kid. I couldn't get all that. I went home and had Thanksgiving dinner. I remember making jokes about mincemeat pie all the way home after seeing that one. My brother and I didn't have very good imaginations. But real quickly, Star Wars, who does he think his father is? And by the way, he doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. He says, no, I am your father. They just got adulterated through the years. Another one, Seven, if you ever saw that. The seven sins, the guy's committing crimes, each one of them's one of the seven sins, and he causes the guy who's the hero of the story to commit the seventh one. And you're like, oh, how did he do that? Sorry if I gave that away for you again. Well, let me stop there, because I want to get to our sheets. There's another area that I want to talk about real quickly that I'm calling life mysteries like the original one, but I think more accurately we'll just call them knowledge mysteries, okay? And we like those because we like to think we don't need mysteries. Why do we like Jeopardy? Anybody else besides me a Jeopardy freak? I watch Jeopardy. I record it and watch it later in the evening. Remember back, it still is, we still have trivia parties. But man, my family went crazy over Trivial Pursuit when it came out years and years ago. We've still got all copies of all those sets of cards. We probably got a half a dozen different varieties of the fun part about Bible trivia is we learned if you just answer Jesus, you're just about always right. So, but anyway, all right, here's what we're going to do. I've got a mystery set of questions here. Now, these are general knowledge, okay? No particular topic. I stole them from several other tests that I took. And what we're going to do to keep you from cheating is we're going to say 1, 2, 3, hold up your answer. Because if we don't do it that way, what you're going to do is say, oh, that's what I think. Yeah, all right, now we got to do it all together. Okay, we got to do it quick, though, because I got 25 of them. But you're going to like it because it is very eclectic. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. Some of them are easy peasy. A couple of them are tricks. All right, you ready? Number one, the earth is mostly water. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you got to do it together. Okay, you're right. It is mostly water. Now, when you're standing here in this land, it doesn't seem like it ought to be. All right, here's a trick one. Catholicism was illegal in England in the 1500s. True or false? 1, 2, 3. It's true. It was illegal. It throws you down because you have to go back and say 1600, 1700. Yeah, it was. Church of England, that's what I... Here's the one I missed. I should have told you that. Number three, chocolate chip cookies have been around longer than Oreos. True or false? 1, 2, 3. It's false. Did you know that? That Oreos were older than chocolate chips? That's un-American. Somebody did that wrong. No, I looked it up. It's actually right. Here you go. Number four. Vodka comes from potatoes. And then you have to explain why you know that. Vodka comes from potatoes. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you've watched the shows like I have. All right, number five. Tattoo ink comes from various fruit juices. True or false? 1, 2, 3. It does not come from various fruit juices. Might make them smell a little better, but that's not where they come from. Number six, here you go, think about it. Thanksgiving in the United States is on November 21st every year. 1, 2, 3. I don't think anybody missed that one. I think I knew some guy. Surely some guy is going to say, yeah, I think that's exactly right. All right, number seven, that the Titanic sank in 1912, true or false? 1, 2, 3. That's a little bit tricky because you have to know the date. Yeah, it was 1912. All right, here's another trick one. Just going to show your age. Number eight, the Beatles recorded 15 studio albums. True or false? 1, 2, 3. Ooh, a lot of mixed results with that one. They had 15 studio albums. Number nine, Shakespeare wrote 13 suicides into his plays. True or false? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there are 13 of them. I just guessed that and got it lucky. Hey, it's 50-50 chance, right? You can't go wrong. Here you go. You got it thinking. Number 10, the capital of Libya is Benghazi. True or false? 1, 2, 3. What is it? What is the capital of Libya? Tripoli. Aren't you glad we didn't ask that question? All right, number 11 is easy peasy. Albert Einstein was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics. True or false? 1, 2, 3. You turned yours around. I saw that. Yeah, that's true. It was physics. All right, number 12, baby koalas are called joeys. True or false? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's a trick. I thought it was only going to be the kangaroos, but it really was. I actually looked that up, and they are called joeys. All right, here you go. Number 13, Gone with the Wind takes place in Savannah, Georgia. 1, 2, 3. Where does it take place? Atlanta. It takes place in Atlanta. Number 14, listen to the wording. Brazil is the only country in the Americas whose official language is Portuguese. True or false? 1, 2, 3. There are others who speak it, but it's the only one that has the official language being Portuguese. Okay, number 15. The first name of Kramer in Seinfeld is Cosmos. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I see a few falses out there. It's true. I never watched a single show of Seinfeld, but I knew that one. All right, listen carefully. The American Civil War ended in 1776. 1, 2, 3. When did it end? 1865. Right? A little bit later than 1776. All right, listen carefully, all you math wizards. I got this one right. A right triangle can never be equilateral. True or false? Come on, don't chicken out. A right triangle can never be equilateral. That's true. You kind of have to know what equilateral means, don't you? Here's another one. The Ford Edsel was named after Henry Ford's father. True or false? 1, 2, 3. It was his son. Who would name a son Edsel? Oh, I like it. Sorry. No, I like Edsel. It's a good name. All right, here you go. Another one you got to think. Number 19. The Dickens novel Oliver Twist begins with the well-known phrase, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." 1, 2, 3. Which book started with that? Tale of Two Cities. Yeah, that's the famous Tale of Two Cities quote. All right, here you go. Think. Paprika is the Hungarian word for pepper. 1, 2, 3. Some of you got tricked on that. It really is. Did you know that? You did. You had it right. You never told me. All right, here you go. Let's see if we know our American history. The original Bill of Rights contains 10 amendments to the Constitution. 1, 2, 3. Yes. There are 27 other ones that were added, but the 10 is what they started out with. 22, you ready? Now, this is a piece of cake again. Snow White's seven dwarfs all worked as lumberjacks. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I see some truths out there. No, what did they really do? They were miners, yeah. Remember all those shiny diamonds and all those precious jewels that were around there? Piece of cake. The favorite food of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is pizza. 1, 2, 3. Right, I see no falses out there. It was. If you had kids or grandkids, you got to know that. That was Jonathan's favorite group. All right, here you go. American history. Thomas Jefferson was the second president of the United States. 1, 2, 3. Ooh, some of you missed it. What was he? Third. third. Adams was the second. All right, last one. Last one. Auschwitz is a popular German beer. 1, 2, 3. Auschwitz. What was Auschwitz? Yeah. Did you see that on the news the other day? They said in a particular poll that they took, 41% of the people didn't even know what Auschwitz was, of Americans. That was a death camp where many, many Jewish individuals and others besides Jews were executed. It's really sad. And the sad part is we don't want to miss history, do we? Well, you know, that was fun because what I want you to see with me from Ephesians is not that difficult to understand. We know what a mystery is, right? Because we didn't all, I don't know if we got 100% right answers on any of those, did we? If we could bring a first century Jewish person here and say, would you explain to us what God's plan is? What do you think they would say? Well, yeah, I know what God's plan is. God's plan was to have a people all his own. And so Israel became God's people. And we were the only ones who were God's people. And God loved us and God took care of us and God protected us and helped us win and do all kinds of great things because we were God's people. And what would a non-Jew, a Gentile say? Well, I don't know who God is. I don't know what God's plan was, but it sure seemed like Israel was God's people. At least that's what they said. But I just really don't know what his plan is. I want you to remember that because we're looking at a passage that I know we all know pretty well. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. And it is expanding on the mystery of God. Paul uses words, and if you're like me, you've read this hundreds of times, but you kind of read through it, and you're kind of like, you know, he talks about the mystery of God, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, let's get on to what I really get. But Paul is saying this to give us a profound lesson that you and I are the recipients of something that is so incredible that so few people ever got to know or understand, that needs to drive us to want to please God. To draw closer to God because he does care so deeply for us. And you know what he's saying here in Ephesians, those first few verses, 1 to 12, I think we can't quite get how mind-blowing that would have been to the people who were hearing it, who are mostly Gentiles and some who used to be Jews, and now they're Christians, and he's saying, you know what? Everything that everybody ever wanted to know and couldn't know has been given to you. It's been explained to you. And it really isn't that complicated. I think we overcomplicate it because we're like, hey, I got 66 books of the Bible. I don't know them all. I'm way behind. God's plan is not that complicated. It's not that difficult. So I want you to put your God glasses on for just a few moments. We're going to do this very quick. That's why I didn't mind taking so much time in the introduction stuff. I want you to see through the eyes of God and what God is saying to you, what he's saying to me. He's saying a couple things that Paul wants us to understand. He's saying, first of all, we are all the same to God. Now, remember, That Jew wouldn't have said that. That Gentile wouldn't even have said that. Because they didn't feel like God's people. And now what he's saying is things are different. I want to read this whole section to you and then it's only six verses. Look at verses 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of God, of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Listen to this, perk your ears up. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ. Isn't that incredible? Now think about that with me for just a second, okay? What he's saying here literally is, man, you know what? I didn't get it. I didn't understand all this, but you know, God gave me a revelation, and what I didn't know, I do now know. And you know how it all happened, the whole road to Damascus experience. I was so far out of touch. I was so far out of connecting with God that God had to come slap me upside the head and knock me right off that horse. And they all knew that. They all told that story. But then he goes on to point out, he says, you know, no one, I mean no one. Now, start letting Old Testament names pop in your head, okay? Man, Adam, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, you know, just go right on down the list. No one knew God's plan. Even the verse that was read so well a few moments ago, not even the angels in heaven knew God's plan. I mean, hear what he's saying here. No one understood that plan. But now, and then he goes to the gospel message there in verse 6 where he just spells it all out. But now, you guys are all part of God and part of his plan. Did you notice the strong language? It's language that the Jews were used to hearing, and now it's being applied to the Gentiles. And by the way, any Gentiles here today? Yeah, we all are. It just means non-Jew, okay? And what does he say? He says, and I think I even got those up here. Yeah, he says, now you are heirs. What does it mean to be an heir? Hey, listen, that means I'm one of God's kids. I belong to God. And I'm right there to receive all the blessings and all the benefits that belong to God's kids, just like Jesus was. And that's exactly what Paul is going to say when he repeats this over in Galatians. That we are heirs. And look at the other one he says. Not only are we heirs, but we're members together of the one body. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago where we were all outsiders at one time and now we're not. Now we're in the inside. And he says, that means we're part of the one body. We belong to Christ. And then thirdly, look at the beautiful description there. We're sharers together in the promise of God that was in Christ Jesus. Everybody has the same blessing in our relationship with God. Brethren, please grasp that. You know, there's nothing about being a minister, an elder, a Bible teacher that makes you any closer to God than anybody else. There's not a hierarchy of spiritual people, and then there's the lower level of spirit. We're all part of the body of Christ. And what a beautiful description that is. What he's literally saying is no one now is beyond the love of God. Now, you see, you've had a Bible for a lot of years. And you knew that a long time ago. But can you imagine hearing for the first time that it wasn't just the Jews that were favored and loved by God? It's also me. I mean, pow! You know, we're so used to it, we don't get it. And we need to work on that because I think the reason why Paul is telling us that is he wants us to realize how special it is to be loved so dearly by God. Now, just one more point, okay? What Paul says is what used to be my job is now our job, right? And by the way, these are both revelations. He's saying this is something that God taught me, that what God has to offer is for everybody. But what God is also telling me is that this isn't just my job. I mean, I'm not the only one in this. Everybody in the family of God has a job to do. God's mystery was given by grace. Let's do this one in sections, okay? Look at verse 7, 8, and 9. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me. Wow. God's mystery was given by grace. Through the working of his power, although I am less than the least of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Wow. Wow. I mean, brethren, it's hard for us to get the impact of what he's saying here, that God's mystery was given by grace. In other words, Paul said, I wasn't such a good dude that God couldn't help but tell me. He had to tell me, I'm a good guy. I wore a white hat. That's not what he's saying. He said, God gave me that revelation. He let me understand that mystery, even though I deserved it less than anybody. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time believing I'm more important than Paul, right? And yet, in reality, there's nobody more important than anybody, right? But listen to what he's saying. Everything about what God did in his plan is by grace. I mean, Paul, you're so smart, you're so dedicated, you're so willing to serve. I'm going to give this all to you. He said, no, I got it because of grace. And brethren, when we realize what we've been given has been given by grace, how can we not share it? Amen. How can we not? And maybe, just maybe, by holding it in, by not witnessing when we get that chance, by not recognizing when God gives us opportunities to speak up, maybe what we're saying is, God, I really did deserve this. Because if I think that, then I have no reason to share. Wow. The mystery was given by grace. Secondly, what was hidden must now be revealed through his church. Look at verse 10 and 11. His intent was that now, through the church, that's the body of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That's not said, brethren, to make us feel guilty. That's not said to make us feel like every one of us need to be evangelists. He's simply saying that everything God gives, he's given for us to give away. And so now Paul says it's been turned over to us. And he's not asking us to be something that we're not. He's not asking all of us to be turned into a bunch of firebrand, over-the-top fanatics, although it wouldn't hurt if some of us were. He's just simply saying, man, if you live in such a way that you recognize what God's done for you and what he's given you, how can you not talk about it? And again, we don't have to get out of our comfort zones. It's just when God gives us the chance, speak up. Because if God's mystery is not revealed through the body of Christ, where is it going to be revealed? Amen. Amen. We're the ones that got something to say. Amen. Because it's been given to us and we get to share it. Let me show you the last part of this. And this is maybe the most powerful part because of what he's given. And he's given it to us by grace. And now it's our job to recognize that others get to discover this too. Look at verse 12. He says, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Wow. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? We have access to God. But not only is it a matter of what we're allowed to do, we need to understand that we have an approachable God. We've got a God that's waiting to hear from us. I mean, we've got a God who's that dad on the hillside waiting for us to rush back into his arms. And he's just waiting to hear anything that we have to say. God's not interested in putting a bunch of doors in front of us. Mike, you got to, or even better, Mike, you got to hop through all those hoops and then I'll give you a little bit of attention. That's not the God we have. We've got a God who put all this together, and from the very beginning, he planned on giving us a way to be part of him, unholy people with a holy God. And the only thing that could pay for that, is the only Son of God. I mean, can you think of anything that's going to pay a bill like that? I mean, I can't. There's not enough cattle on the hillside to pay for that. But Jesus did. And he just wants us to recognize why is Paul saying this to Christians? He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Actually, it went to Christians everywhere. It's a universal letter. And he's talking to people that are already Christians, that are already living for God. And he's saying, folks, you just need to remember what God has done. Amen. What God is doing. Yes. And don't slide back. Right. Don't let those coals get cold in your heart. Right. Keep the heat up. I want, you know, when I was, we're doing okay. I'm going to tell a real quick story and then we'll end. My senior year in high school, our basketball team decided to play in a Christmas tournament. We had a good team. We went to state that year, first time in 20 or 30 years. There were only 7 of us. And we needed everybody to be there. I mean, it was kind of like Hoosiers, if you ever seen that movie. Every time I watch that, I'm like, man, that's us. But we only had 7. And Coach came and he said, Mike, he said, I hate to tell you, but if we go to this tournament, you can't go home for Christmas. Remember, I was living in a school in the dorm down there. You know, I was 17 years old. I had never missed Christmas with my family. But I loved basketball. And I said, sure thing, Coach. We had the tournament. We won the first game. We lost the second game, but it was too late to go home. Christmas break was nearly over. And I remember getting on the phone and talking to my family. And I was okay until they started telling me the things they were doing. They were doing all the things that the Root family does when they get together for Christmas. And so here was this 17-year-old kid crying on the phone, trying not to be heard crying. I'm like, I'm away from my family. I'm missing my family. It's the first time I've ever been gone for Christmas. I was staying with a family, a friend of mine in school. He invited me to stay with them. Their name was Black. They were the Black family. But that was their name, not their skin tone. Love those folks. And you know what? They went out of their way to buy Christmas presents for me. And I wasn't going to get tight with this one until I started telling it. They went out of their way to make sure that their Christmas was my Christmas. And I felt guilty because I thought, man, I'm messing up their Christmas traditions. And I'm, you know, they're not getting to do their family stuff because here's this stranger there sitting in their room on Christmas morning. But they just said, no, you're family. You're part of what we're doing. And there were as many gifts for me as there was for their son and their daughter who were there too. I never have forgotten the love that was shown that by them for me. And you know what? Reason I'm sharing that is because there's that mystery. How could they do that for me? But how often do we say that about God? How could God continue to do those things for me that he does? I mean, you know, we don't get it because we know how undeserving and how disappointing to God we are on a regular basis. And we should, I think, if we're trying to grow and connect with God, we should be saying, God, I don't get it, but man, I'm so glad I got it. Amen. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just thank you for loving me. And I don't understand how it keeps happening this way. I don't understand your grace and I don't understand your love like I do. But you know what I do understand? I understand what I would be and what I would look like if it were not for God's love. Amen. Do you know where you would be? Do you know what you would look like if it were not for the fact that Jesus changed your life? And again, it's a mystery. I don't know, you know. The mystery is that it all comes back to faith, doesn't it? I don't have to understand how God can love me in spite of me. I don't have to understand why his grace is so incredible. Yes. I mean, I'm going to keep working on it and I'm going to keep trying to figure it out because there still is a little bit of a mystery there. But by faith, I trust God. Amen. And God is going to take care of me. Yes. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you got faith, let me challenge you with this. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I don't understand what all that means, really. I mean, I can explain it to you. I can argue doctrine as good as anybody. I don't have to understand all that. All I got to do is understand that Jesus said that's what works. I don't know where you are in your faith story or where you need to change, what you need to develop. Our elders are going to be around the room every Sunday. We say that. Use them. Walk back there and pray with one of them. Or maybe you just need to pray and reconnect with God where you're sitting right now. Just don't sing. Just say, God, help me. I want to know you better. And I'm sorry that I've disappointed you. And certainly as a church family, if we can pray for you, with you, help you do anything to become a child of God, it doesn't even have to be private. We can do it public. And remember, we've got a shepherd back in a private room if you need to use that. What can we help you with?
Hallelujah.
As you decide what you're going to do about your faith? As together we stand and sing.